Yeah, is that guy the little trumpet?
I'm confused. Which is the front end of the show and which is the back end of the show?
Well, here, let me just
I'm
show you.
I'm totally disoriented here.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yes, here at the edge of nature's wonderland, one dips one's toe in a tiny tide pool at one's peril. For within a cone of sand lurches the giant sand antlion, which can devour a human's leg up to the knee in a matter of seconds.
No, really. Good camp.
Yeah, you think it's fun on the beach, huh? Well, see that alarm? That means that more large non-indigenous life forms are colonizing this area. There's not that much time. X Day hurtles upon us. The aliens are moving in. Property values are going down. And there's not much time to do anything about it.
These folks have, what, a month or something? A month and a half? Oh, that's what I want to tell you about before I forget. I got to get the phone right now. But hey, listen, Al, we just came off the sausage. They look great. They're all ready for you. We've already been to the sausage. Like this caller.
Hold on, there's a call on the other line.
Wait. Now, just, let's get this clear.
Hey, yes?
Yeah, what?
I'm here, yes.
You're on.
Oh, thank God, where have you
Mr.
been?
Mr. Dr. Hal?
Yes, I'm here.
I think we're in Fresno now.
How are you?
In Fresno?
Well,
Guy.
What do you mean,
I'm all kind of confused. I'm surrounded by sound effects and badgered and bedeviled by the cares of life.
That's nice.
Operator, can I help you?
I guess.
Well, yeah, click on.
It beats the alternative.
Tree.
Non-involving.
Your message. Just
death.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there's no one there.
Well, you know, it's better than whipped cream in your
face. Whipped cream on my what? The sound effects cover up certain choice words, which I
like
would.
Like in your pants?
I beg your pardon.
I'm calling the censors right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
hello?
Brave new world that hath such creatures in it. Oh, monstrous. Oh, strange.
Hey, all right. Who's over here?
You. They've got the electricity going.
Oh, I'll get that.
Good morning.
It happened, Mr. Cook.
Good morning. This is the show, and as you know...
What show is this?
This is the notorious Puzzling Evidence Program.
Hello.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Why are you so sure?
Cool. I've never been on the radio before.
Well, you see, it's as easy as falling off a log.
Is it true what you say on the radio coming through?
What you say on the radio does, yes, come true. And that's one of the nice things about the medium of radio.
Sometimes a dog runs the wrong squirrel up the right tree.
Yes, it always works. It never fails.
So, yeah.
I'm fine.
But great care and caution must be exercised not to give a misleading impression or to send one off down a tangent, a tunnel.
Yes, we're just the radio geeks.
You say you saw some sort of monster.
YouTube thing?
A monster.
Really?
Oh, I've heard it said that even Jove nods and even Dobbs bobs.
Is that all?
It's explicit. Yes, it's XXX, prurient, pornographic, lucubricious and lewd, pulsating with prurience. It's absolutely, fundamentally obscene. And no decent person would ever soil his vision with such horrendous sights as would freeze your young blood. Make your two eyes start from their spheres, and each particular hair to stand on end like quills upon the fateful porpentine.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Dr. Hal Lindahl, and I hope you're following the great disturbances in the noosphere.
Hey.
Okay, well, that settles that.
Well,
yes, dear friends, in these times of earthquake, dust storm, and economic collapse, we can rally around the one true beacon of our belief, the bright boldness of the grinning face of Bob.
Why come he there again? Why is he everywhere?
Wow. Yes, what will they think of next?
This stuff is sort of hitting critical mass, in a way.
Ah, well, it could be.
It happens all around you.
cool.
Well, now, of course, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about that sort of thing on listener-censored radio, but I'll just let out what a little bird told me. Which...
Hello.
Hello. What?
Or not.
That already happened.
He's telling you more than that. If you read between the lines and parse these sparse sentences and paragraphs, the greater truth which lies within will become apparent to you.
I'm confused.
Well, that's the human condition, my friend. Yes, we never see with clarity, but as through a glass, darkly.
That one time.
Exactly. It was the one time.
Well, surely everybody gets one time. At least one time.
What one time are they talking about?
You get one time to foul up.
Really? Okay. I'm going to check my schedule here. I'm going to see if there's a place we can foul up and we'll get that one time. And use it to our advantage.
Of course, they didn't use the word foul, but I cleaned it up for family audiences who might be watching this broadcast.
And I don't know
why these young popinjays play the peacock, strutting themselves before the eyes of all, when they should give proper and decent, diligent deference to their elders. Ah, the times, the customs, the mad days we have seen. It's all available on the official video.
Didn't put that much on, just a little bit of that.
Just a legend. That attitude could protect you. While on the other hand, if you quivered with fear, he might be more likely to enforce the imperative.
And it was all over because I quivered.
Looks like a spot of bad weather coming on, so I guess we should hurry our steps to the meeting place and forget these allegations of witchcraft. Ye beribboned fops, taste the lash of divine retribution.
No, wait, uh-oh.
But, of course, it passed through many different translations.
Cut it out.
But people ought to tell me that these things change. Good Lord. Wow, I hope I didn't
miss it.
Maybe
I'm not right. We better check.
But where were you in the time of Moses?
Yeah, it's your fault. It's all your fault. And you know why? Because you wanted, Aunt Bertha told me why, because you wanted a train set 100 miles wide. Because of that selfishness, thousands of planets blew up so that you could have that train set for 2.5 years until your brother broke it.
For Billy and Timmy knew only greed and not the generosity of charity, which is of Jesus. So, there you go. It's funny, ironic. You know, once you get behind the scenes, you see heaven isn't all it's cracked up to be. The whole situation is rigged. And you've got this giant, faceless god on the throne at the judgment. And what... It's called the White Throne Judgment. Now, the thing about that is, nobody who goes there is innocent. They're all guilty. The entire purpose is to humiliate them and bring them to a realization that they sinned, and secondly, to justify, I think, to the rest of the universe, their barbaric being tossed or herded through the sinister-looking smoking hole to the right, which leads to the angel that cheerfully throws you into the lake of fire. You can't just jump off or even dive in yourself. You have this big angel, twice as tall as a human, grabs you and with its muscular, gleaming, golden arms heaves you way out over the seething lake of fire.
Mean angels.
Yeah, well, according to Jack T. Chick, now when I drew it, I had the angel say, alley-oop, you know, that would... Just because that would be an even more irritating cheerfulness under the circumstances. And I had my character land right next to Hitler because Hitler is always used as a standard which exemplifies evil. And so anyone convicted of malfeasance should be packed in right next to Adolf Schindler. He comes down with a splash and the Führer reprimands him for splashing more fire on him. Don't take my word for it. There's also Hellboy Jr., and I recommend that anybody read this edifying work where, among other things, it describes Hitler's various tortures in the afterlife.
Don't worry, it won't hurt much. Just go on in there. I'll try to make it as good.
I'm going to keep my own brain. I don't care who...
Me too. I'm not going in that brain wipe chamber.
I'm sorry, but you have to. It's our way.
Leading directly to the outer limits.
And
the
guarded by a monstrous bug with a bulging, pulsating brain. Oh, don't be alarmed. They're somewhat like the insect pests on your own world. They're much larger, of course, and bred for service. This one seems to be guarding the passageway. I'll try to make him step aside. And was always a memorable presence in the cinema. I give it 6 thumbs up and 2 clavicles and a left kidney. And all of that stuff.
This is crazy.
Great stuff, man. Great stuff. And the sooner the better, I say. I don't know how to deal with it.
For the next few months, nobody's awake. Everybody's tired from going all apart.
Oh, I don't want it. Oh, if only it could be put aside. This burden from me. Oh, dear. Oh, dearie, dear. Oh, dearie, dearie me. And other terrible things. So, there's no use complaining. Must be faced. Location unknown. Captain.
Struggle over the coffin.
Yes, it's not the cough that carries you off. It's the coffin that carries you off.
And finally, it's put into the, which much screaming and argument, into the hearse, and is led away. And so,
hearsed and rehearsed.
Nightmarish scene.
What was it like for the coffin to be rattled and bumped over those rough roads?
Yep. And then to be led down the stairs into the spooky chamber with all the... Oh.
Spook.
That was going to be a great story, but I guess we got somebody calling 844.
All right. Well, the story was just getting good, too.
844-425-5J.
All right. Yeah, call 848-4425 in the 510 area code right now. Yes, we have a duty to tell all of you out there. Give us a call at area code 510-848-4425. And you can ask a question of me, Dr. Howland Allen. I will be more than glad to answer it and relieve your mind of whatever worry might have been engendered by a predicament which could not, until now, be resolved to anyone's satisfaction. That satisfaction I offer you. Just give us a call, and this service, usually charged for, will be provided for free right here on the radio by listener-sponsored KPFA. So don't delay. Call now at area code 510-848-4425. Award-winning course in success in sex and real estate.
Yeah. This is the upscale version of BDM. This is to wake people up, because then they can roll over and reach for the phone. Come on,
be real. This is a musical, you understand? This is not reality. This is like
the
musical
show, right?
Version of what actually takes place out there in the woods.
Yeah, and also the show is just a thing. This is an actual show. This is what would happen if there were a show on at this time, at this hour, in the middle of the night, with us talking. The end of the world, the best and subgenius end of the world.
Oh, well, there you go. Of course, my learned colleague is only jesting when he makes that allusion. There is nothing illegitimate or below the board about our enterprise. Throughout the years that we have broadcast on the Puzzling Evidence Show, we have hewed to certain ethical standards, which maybe in the end are only true accomplishment. Generations from now, high school students and others will be forced to study our words, to memorize them, and to disgorge them when asked by unsympathetic robot teachers. To these future generations, we of the show can only say,
that it was never your choice to listen or ours to broadcast.
I do feel so sad about that.
Yeah, well...
About them being forced to study. I was looking at that in the future files. It just doesn't seem fair that the future kid should have to study this, but here we go. And we've all got a chopper to catch in today's busy world.
Here comes the taper to light you to bed. Here comes the chopper to chop off your head. Chop, 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 wow. Chop, chop, chop.
It's the Vic Morrow story on YouTube.
And, of course, we also have the little tiny princes in the tower.
Right now, people are getting up and getting ready for work.
Just look at all those suckers.
Those plumbers.
Well, we don't have to to work like they do.
No, because we have to stand here. There it goes.
The bat that flits at close of eve has left the brain that won't move.
I believe it.
The owl that calls upon the night speaks the unbeliever's fright. And look at that unsightly old tottering, crumbling house of Usher. That's where I'm going to be spending the night, unless I can get a ride back. The werewolves won't be so much a problem because the moon will be waning at that time. As you know, as the moon waxes, werewolf. So does the werewolf's hirsuteness and viciousness. Remember, the werewolf is a fiendish amalgamation, a chimera with the worst aspect of man and wolf, and none of the good aspects either. Pay a terrible price to become a werewolf. A price I would not wish. Pay myself under any circumstances. And you have to have a belt made of nails. And you have to go to a crossroads and urinate. It's all in the old book. It tells you how to do it. But it doesn't tell it how to take it off you. Once the spell's upon you, you're going to become wolfier as the moon waxes. And only in the dark of the moon would you have any relief from the itching and the fleas and the hairs and the
body.
The whole thing.
How do they go? They don't know.
Well, but, you know, you get nothing for nothing. You have to pay a little. And these days, they just say werewolves are just misunderstood sorts. You know, we shouldn't be prejudiced against them. Same with vampires. They have a health problem. They've been demonized. You know, and so forth. We're supposed to love all these creatures.
We love their vampires.
You know, mummies are, it's not politically correct to dispose of them, even if they're shambling, reanimated in town. Is that a clear danger to life and limb? You know, I would say political correctness is going too far. What about reanimated, stitched together monsters, like the Frankenstein monster being the most famous exemplar? They, too, are now supposed to get a pass from our overly permissive society. But I
Come
guess.
On, little monsters. Get on the monster wagon.
Well, you've seen those monster rallies downtown. That's just the beginning. Pretty soon they're going to be spending your tax dollars on monster social services and finally monster retirement homes. And I'll give you one more chilling secret, ladies and gentlemen. These monsters are immortal. They never die. You'll be paying for their health care for as long as you live, which is not as long as they live. Unless we, the people, do what the people have always done. Grab your pitchforks and torches. Grab your crude farm implements. We can rent you some if you don't have any. And march on Monster Hall. We'll turn those misshapen misfits out into the cold and establish in their place a realm of bland normalcy, where even the consumption of hot peppers in the food will be discouraged and discredited. Instead, mashed potatoes, vanilla ice cream, applesauce, and all that is without any defining punch, vitality, or vigor will be the mandatory staples of diet in this brave new monster-free world. But what of nature, I hear you asking, as you scratch your heads in bewilderment? Does not nature throw up in her path many freaks and sports, strange Lucy Naturae, as it were?
Yes, is nature not the mother of all monsters and their creator? The science of teratology goes back to ancient times when these genetic malfunctions, as we now conceive them, become fused with the strained hermaphroditic, perhaps even anti-human cultures of the creations of the mythological world. Gorgons, hydras, and chimeras, dire stories of Celaeno and the Harpies, the centaurs, great astronomers and scientists and observers of the heavens. For it is said also in the Hebrew book that from the stars the angelic host of old knew the daughters of men and sired upon the earth a different group. We call them subgeniuses.
Really? Is that how it goes?
Well, that's the classical mythopoetic interpretation, or you could go all vulgar and pop and say they were superheroes.
Oh, right.
You know, I prefer a little bit of refinement here. I mean, these clownish leotard-wearing lummoxes don't speak for me. Why, the idea, just because they can throw a punch with the power that's packed in an atomic explosion doesn't mean that they're my intellectual superior. Yes, I may have to cower in an underground bunker while they stamp about above, but I shall still retain my individual sovereignty. No! Quiet down, kids.
There goes Billy and Timmy. They're fighting back.
Yes, those two kids are always out trying to steal an atomic submarine or get into more mischief.
Hello?
But Aunt Bertha will fix their wagon. Hello, you're on the air, and why didn't you call before? My dear fellow, I don't know what I can do for you, but ask your question. State short question, please, and I shall
essay to answer you. Well, that's illegal now in the new world.
I shall tell you your future. But beware,
there it is.
You may not like what you hear.
Oh, it's on a little card.
Yes, that's how I read the answer, but this is radio, you don't have
to. That's how Dr. Hal reads.
Well, come on. Can't we keep some of the stage magic pristine behind the scenes here? You know, I want to point out all the springs, wires, and levers that turn our art into simple claptrap and stage mongery? No, there's more. There's a spirit to it. There's a certain feeling, one that you can't quite place, but something as insubstantial as a shaft of sunlight streaming through 93 million miles of space.
Wow, cool.
To land on a baby's bombosity, as earlier listeners no doubt have anticipated at the end of my remark. And so now, all the rest shall be silence, and we shall give way to the wind that blows on the hill.
Oh, yeah.
Through these tumbled stones.
It's almost the end part.
There they shall remember us and remember how we fought with the Wananko Tonka against the Pindalikoi.
Really?
Well, or maybe not. But they'll think these stones are cool places to have a picnic. So, farewell, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.